is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Insurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Cheval Golang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Very busy Monday. Oh, my goodness. If you want to give us a call today, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. Incidentally, in the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 300-5720. What isn't happening today? Okay, or what isn't there we can talk about today? We've got the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram, urging voters to reject the PLP and vote for the FNM's candidate. And this, despite the fact that there were talks by some that Mr. Ingram was not supporting the effort of the Free National Movement in the West Grand Bahama and Bimini constituency. Well, he went and did it for himself. The PM gave his keynote address at the PLP convention and warned businesses and told businesses, you've been warned. You've been warned. Don't be. You could put up those prices because of inflation, but don't be keeping them prices up because you don't have no competition. Oh, that alone is a show. And then Mr. Mitchell won the chairmanship of the Progressive Liberal Party, teamed it by some 57% of the votes, notwithstanding that he had star competition. And his opponent had a support of Lady Pindling herself and Mr. Sheen Gibson. That notwithstanding, Mr. Mitchell got reelected. And so much going on, so much going on. And they had some issue in the Pine Forest area of the constituency over a park down there. I'll talk to you about that a little later on. And the deputy prime minister of the country gave his address, and he was pushing hard the achievements and accomplishments of the Progressive Liberal Party, more so about what it will do. Span national insurance to include catastrophic care, he said. Reform marijuana law, reform mining laws, create mining authority, he said. Finish the job of gender equality, he said. Finish the national development plan and finish the commitments in our blueprint for change, he said. We'll institute prison reform, strengthen the judicial system. I mean, it was just the whole gamut. He was to help business grow organically with support from BAIC, SBDC, and new TDC. The whole alphabet is involved. I mean, a lot going on. Just so much going on. Okay, where do we start? So, Mr. Ingram, see now, let me tell you all. Can I tell you all the whole story, or y'all don't want me to tell you all the whole story? Let me tell you all the whole story. So, you know, from time to time, as I speak to people, I heard reporters lamenting what they regard as Mr. Ingram's cozy relationship with the present prime minister, Mr. Brave Davis. And for some, that seemed to take them aback. For me, I'm wondering, like, why would you be taken aback? This is a former prime minister. And if a sitting prime minister wants to include him in his doings, what is a former prime minister to do? Not be seen with the prime minister so you could feel comfortable about his support for the party? You know, I know Mr. Ingram very well. Mr. Ingram's heart for the Free National Movement that he led for many years as both leader and prime minister ain't changed one bit, notwithstanding the treatment afforded and accorded him by the former leader of the party. I don't think his love and commitment to the party, I don't think has changed at all. Nothing in our con dialogue would lead me to believe any such thing. But Mr. Ingram is a nationalist and a national figure and loves this country. And so if the Prime Minister of the Bahamas includes him in something and he is minded to do so, you will see them together. They are also, they've been former law partners. So there's a relationship there. Friends, there's a relationship there. So that never bothered me that from time to time you might see him with Mr. Davis. But his advice and guidance to the present leader of the Free National Movement that he should not have, or he would not have, contested the seat, doesn't have anything to do with his commitment to support the party. Why should it? You could have a view and a perspective on things, but that doesn't change your commitment. And this is part of the challenge we have in our society, not just in political circles, and across the board. Like, we believe that our friends, our colleagues cannot disagree with us at the same time as they dislike us. Right? Or they like us. Like, somehow, for me to like you is for me to always say, agree with everything you say or do or want. For me to disagree with you is for me to dislike you. That is absolute nonsense and a sign of immaturity. Good friends, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend, not his enemy. And if you know iron on iron, you can get some friction, right? So that never bothered me that he has a view on contesting the seat. Anyways, it seems that the efforts by some on the other side of the FNM to suggest that Ms. Ingram's First of all, Mr. Ingram's not believing it should have been done and not having said anything publicly was an indication that he did not support. We ended that. Went down there in West Grand Bahama and made his statement very clear so that there could be no mistaking where he stood on the matter. And his comments was not just in relation to supporting Bishop Grant down there. His rejection was not merely that Mr. Grant should be supported. His suggestion was that the PLP should be rejected. He said, and I quote, "I think it's also important for people to remember that Obi Bilchcombe was the member of parliament and minister in the government for 12 years. For this constituency." Right? He says they can also see the neglect in this constituency in all those years. They must also know that the persons coming here and promising them what they will do in the future are the same persons who were in office when Obi Wilkin was there. He asks, "Why would people believe you are going to do it for me now that you really need me when you took me for granted all these years?" That's what he says. Make unequivocal. So no doubt, I believe that Mr. Pintard, the FNM, and others would have gotten a boost from such a strong statement from Mr. Ingram. Mr. Ingram told him, say, if I keep voting for you, like I've always been doing, 40 years they voted PNP, if I keep doing that, you ain't going to change. Why should you change? Ah, boy. Somebody say, Papa's back. I don't know but back, but I think he wanted to do something for a party that he isn't dead to, and he certainly made an unequivocal statement on the scene. Say, Papa to the rescue. Common sense. Papa has the history. Let me tell you something. Though I don't get mad with me, Jack, you all know Mr. Ingram was a mentor of mine. You know I served in his cabinet. You know that I have a very good relationship with him. So I'm not trying to cushion, shadow, shell anything, but I only want to tell you all, this man is a political genius. He ain't perfect, but he's a political genius. And he knows exactly how to convey thoughts in a way that creates some potency. Will that make the difference to the outcome? I can't see that it won't influence some to some degree, but will it ultimately be the reason? I can't tell you that. I can't tell you. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a step. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Get ready to jingle all the way to Christmas with Fidelity's Festive Giveaway, with over $10,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Apply for a loan or open an ASU savings account for a chance to win big. Visit any of our branches for more details. Terms and conditions apply.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy. Just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us, boy, one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. Your government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Croc Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9. FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Somebody wanted to remind me that Mr. Ingram was in Grand Bahama for his cousin's funeral and went to meet the candidate before heading back. I am quite aware, actually, but what I know about what happened comes directly from my conversation with him. And he indicated to me the reason why he made And that's my modus operandi with Mr. Ingram always. I speak with him so I can understand what he's doing, because I don't want, never ever want to misrepresent what he's doing. He did indicate to me even last week he was coming to Grand Bahama for this funeral and so forth and so forth. So this text says, Lang, why do PLP are afraid when Ingram steps up to the front? What do you think? Wouldn't you be, if you were an opponent of such a potent person, it would be like Mr. Pinden stepping up? the potent personalities, right? You got to regard and respect them. So Mr. Lang, think Bahamas forget the political genius that Papa was and still is today, effing them all the way? I don't think people forget. I think if you're on one side of the political divide, you will have one view. And if you're on another side of the political divide, you might have another view. So anytime he gets in the fray, it's gonna make some material move in the environment. He's that kind of a presence, right? You know, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Pindling, Mr. Successor, and them, you know, all of these are juggernauts of political figures, man. You know, A.D. Hahn and them, they all had that heavy presence in the political fray. Says Mr. Lang, Mr. Ingram say he did not say not to contest the seat, said was a lie by Fred Mitchell, was it? Well, he may not have said not to contest it, but he certainly did not believe that it should have been contested. That's different. You don't say don't contest. You say, well, I don't think you should. He may give reasons for that, but I don't think he said to him not to contest it. But I think it was quite clear that it was not a thing that he might have felt most advisable in circumstance. But, you know, you have your views and you have your perspective. Says, good afternoon, former Prime Minister Ingram spoke when he was ready. He is all about timing. He did it with Mr. Minnis, and it had a positive impact on his campaign, much to our later detriment. Right, that Mr. Minnis was not resonating with FNMs. I believe that his public endorsement of Bishop Grant will also have a positive impact. There are still many who look to him for approval or not. I agree with that. There's a lot of people still. This text says, what Ingram said is that he didn't say that to the Tribune, as Mitchell claimed. Okay, see, there you go. Not that the Tribune said, he said it to them. I got you. See how life gets cleared up. Sometimes we, at the end of the day, I mean, listen. I talked to them all, right? So I know what was said and what was received, and then we all know what was decided. And so, you know, it's all moot today because, one, the party is contesting the seat, and two, Mr. Ingram has endorsed a candidate. Okay, so whatever the history now, say the Tribune used third-hand info, not the info was incorrect, as that was Ingram's view, as you know. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No question about that. So I know, no, we don't need that. Try to escape that. All right. Let's see. We got some text here. Let me read them. So Lang, tell high heels wrong. DeSantis, stop talking fool. I didn't get to DeSantis. We get this. Yeah, say right. My point is moved. Yeah. No, it don't make much difference. So... So let me tell you all. Okay, so I have to tell you, I have some new information, and things in the West Grand Bahama Bimini constituency is tightening up. Now, I'm not telling you tightening up in what direction, because you may have had a view of but it's tightening up. So the major parties, the situation is more competitive than one would have thought. Okay? You know, West End, West Grand Bahama Bimini has 13 polling divisions. 13, there's polling division 1, 2, and 3. All right, that's West End. The FNM lost that. Lost that one. There's polling division 4. And they lost that one too. I think that's on the north side of Bimini. Polling division 5, which is Holmes Rock. And the FNM pretty much broke even there. Pine forest areas. There's polling division 6, that's Seagrave. And polling division 7, which is Jonestown, which is heavily influenced by the descendants of Turks Island. And they have typically supported the FNM, supported the PL, well, the O.B. Wilchka, whose mother was a very influential Turks Islander, but they also supported David Wallace, who had an enormous relationship with them. All right. Then there's polling divisions 8 to 10, which is Bimini proper, and the FNM essentially lost it the last time, I think, by 50 votes. And then there's polling division 11. I think that's part, I'm not sure, that might be part of Bimini, which the FNM won by about 27 votes last time, I think it was. And then polling division 12. Also, I think all of them are Bimini. No. And then there's polling division 13, which is Pinedale. 12, I think, is Martintown, Russelltown. Yeah, Martintown, Russelltown. Then polling division 13, which is Pinedale. And in some of those areas, like Pinedale, the other, I think. But it's tightening up. Like I told you before, it's something to watch now for some people who thought there was none to watch. and so against that backdrop, the PLP had its convention. Very, very impressive showing at convention. I mean, big crowd, enthusiastic crowd, you know, it looked good. I mean, like the optics of it, the pic photos, the videography looked good. I listened to some excerpts of some of the speeches. I read some of, not all of, the PM speech. Did not get to hear all of the PM speech. Some of the candidates did have very rousing speeches. So clearly well responded to by their audience and so forth and so forth. And some things were said that I think is worth looking at for sure. I think so. But you know, I listened to some of the speeches and you know, let me tell you something. So we had election September 2021, right? So it's now November 2023. So that's a little over. That's 2 years and 3 months. So the Progressive Liberal Party, in terms of the tenure of our election, our electoral periods, has about a little more than 2.5 years left in their tenure. So in terms of being able to say, this is what we accomplished in that period, if we're being fair, we say, okay, if you accomplish half of what you said you were going to do, you're almost halfway there, that's good. If you accomplish a third, we might say, some people might say, oh, well, you still have a lot of work. The fact of the matter is, the term is 5 years. The term is 5 years. You don't have to do half in the first half. It may well be that you could do all the remaining of 75% in the second half, but because you have 5 years. you know. But when you go to convention, you want to report on what you've done. And they did. They did report on what they have done. And they talked a lot about what they will do. Now, a lot of what, for instance, what I heard the Deputy Prime Minister say, represent a really broad, big movements of things to be done in the country. Broad, big movements of things to be done in the country. And the question is it plausible to do those things? And I mean, let me say that's different than saying you've done them now. So let me see. Anyway, we can take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take bro together through the storm, whatever weather.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year. Ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek, you can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
It's World Investor Month, and we're demystifying the world of investments. Let's talk about risk. Imagine investing as a tightrope walk. On one side, you risk falling. On the other, you have potential rewards. All investments carry some level of risk, even the safest ones. Understanding these risks is crucial to making smart investment decisions. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas Securities Exchange. Learn more by following us on social media.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. In the Family Islands, 242-5720. So I was explaining a party in government has these two challenges. Okay? The first challenge is you have to do things that people can experience that you have done that positively impacts their lives. If you have to spend too much time explaining what you've done, it's because people aren't experiencing what you've done and therefore cannot be persuaded by you that you've done it for them. Okay, so that's the first thing. What you do has to be experienced by the voters. Okay, the second thing is the things you do have to be things that people don't feel negatively impacted their lives. So you can literally do some things, but those things can negatively impact people's lives to the point of them thinking that you hurt them. All the parties have had this problem. It has happened to Sir Lyndon. It has happened to Mr. Ingram. It has happened to Mr. Christie. It has happened to Dr. Minnis. And it is happening to Brave Davis, our prime minister. They have all had circumstances in which, one, they have done things that they believe to be good that people turn around and say, So let me give an example. Mr. Ingram did the road project, the infrastructure project. He thought, we thought, that was good. There's no question that the F&M got licked upside his head for that same project. Mind you, it might be talked about differently today. But at the time, it was regarded as hurting people's businesses, hurting people's comfort and convenience, so forth and so forth. Y'all remember it. The roads, them dig up. The roads, them dig up. I even heard, I was on Palms Hill one time, and I was minister still, and boy, one little boy, a little white Bahamian boy, and he was singing that song, the roads, them dig up. So that was something deemed good, but it ended up hurting the body. Okay? So you can see things like that happening. The Mr. Christie thought BAMSI was a good thing, and probably it is. But in the way it was executed at the time, it put a sour taste in people's mouth, right? So he had that example. Dr. Minnis might have thought that in the handling of the pandemic, holding on to the competent authority power for as long as he did, he may have thought he was doing the right thing for the pandemic. Boy, but that mash him right up. Right? So Mr. Davis may well think that putting VAT down helped him. And it could have. Except they put VAT back on some items that people thought, why are you putting the VAT down? So you have to do things that people positively, and you have to do things that people, that when you do it, people don't think that you have hurt them. And so this is the challenge with having to report on what you've done and having people say, yeah, okay, that's all fine and dandy, but how did that change my life? How is my pocket better off? How is my... my family circumstances better off? How's my community better off? How is the nation better off? And so forth and so forth. People have to be able to say these things. And then they have to learn, turn around and say, but yeah, but every time I go in the food store, every time I do this, et cetera, I think about that. Look at the BPL power bill, these kinds of things. So these things impress and impact upon people's perception of our governance. And it is because people have had experiences like this that have not been defining in the net in terms of their well-being, that they have gotten rid of every single administration one term since 2002, every single one. Politics and governance is like this. If you ask somebody, how's your relationship with that person? What do? We go back in and we think about whether there are positive things and negative things. We weigh them, and in the net, if we come out negative, we say it's terrible. If it comes up positive, we say bad. Sometimes we say, oh, I have a lot of positive memories, but that one two big bad things overshadow all of them, and so I say this is terrible. So you ask people, how's the government governing? How is Sir Lyndon governing? How is Mr. Ingram governing? How is Mr. Christie governing? How is Dr. Minnis governing? How is Prime Minister Davis governing? And when they go back in their memories and they think about the experiences they're having, good and bad, if in the net they say good, they go good. If in the net they say bad, they say bad. If there's a lot of good, but one huge thing that really represents a bad, they go bad. Now, not everybody is the same. Some people have people have different experiences of the governance. So some people will benefit from it, and some people will feel like what matters is what the vast majority who are going to go to the polls feel about it. And there you will have your result. This text says, in my opinion, if the F&M loses, it won't significantly impact the outcome of the 2026 general election. However, if they win this by-election, it would be a huge morale booster. You want your cake and eat it too. This text says, good afternoon. The line, Mr. Ingram is a well-respected, larger-than-life figure in this country who is well-respected. In my view, he is the best PM we had to this point. I have seen how he touched lives and improved this country when he was leading us. A salute, Mr. Ingram, on a job well done. Many are afraid to give him his flowers while he's living because it will make him look so good to many of his political haters. Okay? This text says, Mr. Lang, Mr. Ingram is one of the most dynamic politicians that this modern Bahamas has seen. His opinion on political matters will always stir the referred to him as his most illustrious protege. See, the only thing the PLP constantly attacks Mr. Ingram on is his BTC. Then why don't they talk about the more talk time they have had on campaign to shut down their live? It's sickening. They know he is a PM with stature. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Is it a fact or not that Mr. Nygaard said he gave the PLP $5 million to win the government back at his former home? I do not know that to be a fact or not. I have no evidence of that. I know he's been convicted. I know that. Saying all this, can't find Dr. Minnis in town. You can find him soon. I suspect he can come out soon. I think so. Precious base pipe. Y'all wouldn't believe this, you know. Let me tell you all something. And I can go to the break with this. You see these prime ministers? They just compete with each other, you know. These prime ministers, they compete with each other. I have no doubt that Mr. Ingram saw in Mr. Insulinden a mentor who he wanted to do a better job than. I don't think it was his focus, and that's why he did the job he did, but I think he would want it to. But I can tell you all one day, I think these other fellas would love to also, and reputation in many respects, not in all, and there are many respects that Mr. Ingram has among the population. I think so. And that's not a bad thing. The Bible says, Mark, now please understand, I'm not saying he is, but the Bible says, mark the perfect man and follow him, right? So I say, mark the man who has set his standard that you believe to be high, and you can follow that, even exceed it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break, the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Out of this cage, I'm standing up, I'ma face my demons. mash the car. The lady run into me mash the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat at 9 to 5.
It's World Investor Month, and today we're tackling a common problem, inflation. Inflation makes your money worth less over time. So how do you combat it? Think of investing as your shield. By putting your money in investments that typically grow faster than inflation, like stocks or real estate, you can protect your purchasing power. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Stay informed by following us on social media.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And I'm live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 in the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a text here that says, "Good day, Mr. Lang." And said, "Papa is so relevant. Listen to the reminders he gave in response to the limited research the young politician shared. Mr. Ingram don't believe in lies, and he is authentic and earned the name Papa for being simply the best. He was a straight shooter on everything he did. At Mattis, radio airwaves, and the modernized educational system was felt by everyone, citizens and residents. He deserves a standing ovation." That texter. You know, Interestingly enough, Mr. Ingram in the interview was able to give some context to, say, the performance of the party in the PLP in the West Grandmama C. He also gave the context of the performance of the FNM in relation to by elections, and he explained himself that way. One of the things that younger, newer candidates to the political process need to do is have perspective. They oftentimes believe that good and better and best will only start with them. Okay? So politicians only this and politicians only that. I'm actually always intrigued to hear people who are now in the political fray, which makes you a politician. If you're running for a candidate, you're a politician. And if you are hoping to have a long career as a member of parliament, you are going to be a politician for a long time. But they start to distance themselves as if, okay, but I'm not a politician. These are the politicians, these politicians. So, and they lack context. They lack historic context. They lack social and cultural context. And like everything in life just started in the moment that they started. And it's a mistake. And then when it becomes convenient, they reach back into the history of the party that they are supporting to talk about what the party did to get themselves, say, for instance, some credibility in relation to what was done. Isn't that odd? Very curious. And it happens on almost all sides of the political arena, almost all sides. It's an excellent point on these new politicians. Everything started with them. Absolutely. Absolutely. That it, all of it is me. The only good that's ever going to happen is me. The only time anybody was ever going to be honest in politics is me. Because these other fellas are this and these other fellas are that. And all the while killing the thing you are joining and adding to the cynicism that people have about the thing you're going to be a part of. Let me wake up some of y'all, male or female. If you get into politics, you are a politician. If you get into politics, you are a politician. If you want to get into politics, you want to be a politician. So you are a politician. You could be all the teacher, all the lawyer, all the doctor, all the pastor you want to be. You get into politics, you are a politician. And you shouldn't be ashamed of the thing you're joining, because otherwise, why are you joining it? And if politics automatically makes you dirty, why are you joining it? But don't you know and I know, they're terrible lawyers and they're very good lawyers. They're terrible doctors and they're very good doctors. And I'm talking about characters now, right? They're terrible pastors and they're very good pastors, right? So I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Don't you can't come to my door and tell me you ain't no politician if you're in politics. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Better Alex, how you doing, sir?
Hey, man, right here, and yourself?
Good. I got to be careful on how I present my case to you, because I know you're a good student of Mr. Ingram. Mm-hmm. But I honestly believe, I'm going to go on a limb and say, I honestly believe Mr. Ingram is off this time.
Okay.
He said something. I never know Mr. Ingram to go back on his word.
Now, okay, what was that?
Said it, I heard him say that they shouldn't have run a candidate in the election. Now he has a right. He did it before, and he's doing it again. He has a right to change his mind.
Well, you heard him say it? What do you mean you heard him? You heard him
then
say
he
those
said,
words?
He's telling Mr. Pinto not to. It doesn't make no sense of something running a candidate in a by-election. Okay, now he is back now supporting the candidate.
No, but those are not two different. I spent time explaining that. Those are not two different things. That's like if my son came to me and said, "Daddy, I want to go be a basketball player, professional basketball player," and I said to him, "You know, bro, I really don't believe that you will make it as a professional basketball player." But does that mean that if he wants to go to a training camp to learn to do his skills, I wouldn't support him? That don't make no sense.
My son, if it was my son and I was in that position, you put yourself in, I think my son would listen to me, right? I might be wrong. I have a 19-year-old.
Well,
he listens to me.
Well, I ain't even
but
debating
me,
you.
Let
that's
me,
your
let me,
stuff.
I know
that, no, no, no. I'm not even debating you because I have been there.
So maybe
my kids don't always agree on what they do.
Of what they tried to do, not what they tried to do, what they did in 2017. Then Mr. Ingram threw up his head all of a sudden. They think the voting is going to shift. But this one year in by-election, this is by-election in Bessin and Bimini.
Right.
Believe it or not, the PLP put the final nail in the coffin today by naming that building after Obadiah Hercules.
Okay, that's your view.
I agree with that.
Okay.
The building should have had some attention put onto it a long time ago. But being late is better than being none at all.
Okay. Well, I
somebody promised you $10 Monday, they bring that Friday. That's still $10.
Yeah, but you know, but let me tell you something, right? I don't know what's going to happen in the West Grandmama and Bimini seat, so I'm not trying to count
the seat
at all. Yeah, but
I'm not.
That's not the reason why. I simply don't know. I don't know. But
okay.
I don't know. But I will tell you. I'll tell you this much though. I don't share your view about being late, better late than never, because, bro, I've been in politics enough times to know people cut your hip for not delivering something on time because it come too late. That happens.
Yeah, I understand. That's what I'm saying. It should have been open. The complex should have been open earlier. The complex should have been open the first 8 months when the PLP won the last election.
Right. Now let me tell you something. To be honest with you, right? If we wanted to follow through on our laws in the Bahamas, it is conceivable that both the PLP and FNM could be charged with treating.
Why do you say that? That's a strong word.
No, it is, because what is treating? Treating is doing things around election time to garner votes.
But Mr. Lang, that is why I know you must know by now, I'm a PLP supporter.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And that is why I go on record and tell the people investing in Bimini, whoever offering you something, whether it's the PLP, the FNM, Lincoln, being to Dalbar, whoever, take it.
Yeah, but you also encouraging them to break the law, though. Because let me tell you the difference.
Quality.
All right, I got you, brother.
All right, sir. You have a good day.
You too, man. Listen, folks, so don't get mad with me, right? We are not, when you are in politics, when you are campaigning, once the writ has been given, you are not supposed to do things to induce voters to vote for you. A voter can't solicit you and promise you a vote for giving them something, and you can't promise a voter something to vote for you. And we have heard some of that. Now, let me tell you the only instance of it I'm aware of, in terms of, like, right now there is in the Pine Forest area a park which the FNM, having listened to the voters down there, some of them have sought to make some motion on, etc., right? And so now it's a little bit of a controversy over the fact that it's now being stopped by the administrator because they said there's a process and procedure to doing these things. Well, so the thing about it is, right, like, if you're an opposition party, you're not the member of parliament, you're not the government, and you're now doing this now, it becomes a challenge to how people construe your effort. It is too, just like the government, signing up all these contracts for airport and these kinds of, now, I'm not saying the Davis administration is alone in this kind of stuff. We've been, this kind of treating and thing has been happening, but I'm saying it is what it is, so it's treating. That's what it is. Right? It's treating. Right? Like it or not, and they can keep, and mind you, so if you're the opposition party and the government doing all this kind of stuff, you got to compete. So you can go compete, right? Then the government giving out vouchers here and giving out vouchers there, food vouchers. What you supposed to do? People need help. You give out vouchers too. I'm not arguing on the political pragmatism of it all, but I'm saying voters are encouraging and supporting the thing that voters say should be done to protect them in the course of voting. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how are you?
Go ahead. Hey, I'm right here. And yourself?
Yes, sir. Thanks for receiving my call. I don't normally do the politics thing. I don't get excited over politics.
Okay.
But I assumed that caller earlier before me, I thought that was Mr. He called himself Mr. Engliston. I was waiting all day for him to either apologize to the nation or to explain his prediction that he was wrong. I heard him all over the radio saying that in the chairmanship race, who will win it? But I don't know if you knew his prediction. I think he should call back and explain what went wrong with his prediction. Because I know I heard Mr. Engliston predict on many of the shows that he called, but he seems like he lose the first one. I hope that he may not lose the second one and trying to find his way out of a hole, but he already lose the first prediction that he gave. I hope he would call back and explain that. Thanks, Mr. Lang.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. predictions are like... predictions are like a nose. Practically everybody got one. This text says, the dude say he hear Ingram say it. Yeah, I was wondering what he hear Ingram say. But I mean, even if he say what he say Ingram say, I mean, I don't understand how to do them two things different to begin with. Say, well, mother sick, man. He explained what he said. These crabs are something else. Ingram up them shaking. Oh, we love politics in the Bahamas, boy. Say, Chester Cooper say they working overtime to win the next election. They need to work overtime to solve the country's problems. Talking food is a very serious thing. That's interesting. Say, great show, Mr. Lang. Papa is the only prime minister I ever voted for. No other PM came close to Papa. boy. All right, so anyway, so I want to mention a couple of other things to y'all. By the way, can I thank all of those persons who, parents and guardians and guidance counselors and principals who helped to send in the kids to be recruited for this year's Bahamas Youth Leadership Development Program. Thank you very much. I was delighted to see your response. So really, really happy to have these kids get this experience, which we believe will be helpful to them. So I want to read them to you, right? So this is in the PM speech, but I'm reading from the Guardian's story about it. PM, listen to this now. That's why we're the new day government, he said, because the old day left out too many people. So the prime minister said his administration cannot postpone the fight against the high cost of living. Cannot postpone it. We are making unprecedented investments in agriculture, he said. He says growing more of our food at home will lower food prices for families, keep more of our money inside our country, and create a new wave of successful Bahamian entrepreneurs. One day I'm going to talk to you about this particular statement, but not today. That's not the one I want to get to. One day. He says, but I want also to be clear to wholesalers and retailers. Listen to what he wants to be clear about. When your prices reflect global inflation, it's one thing. But when you keep your prices high, even after we cut your import duties, because there ain't enough competition to cause you to lower them, that's something we can't tolerate. Don't say I didn't warn you. What do you think the prime minister is saying to business people? What do you think? It's one thing if global inflation leads you to raise prices, but it's an entirely different thing if we give you a duty concession and your prices remain high, not because of the inflation, but because you don't have enough competition to lower the prices. We will not tolerate that. Who do you think Prime Minister Dorgan do? There are 50,000+, I think the last I heard, is licenses in the Bahamas. All these food stores, all these convenience stores, all these clothes stores, all these shoe stores, all these bookstores, all these vehicles, all these people. Prime Minister said, don't say I did not warn you. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Child, Fidelity Canon this year with their new festive giveaway. You can win cash, an iPhone 15, get a bill paid off, PS5, all kind of things. Apply for a loan or an ASUS savings account and you could win. Try our call them now. Yeah? 64.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad you could join us. Someone texted me to say, great show as usual. I think he's talking about Rupert Roberts. Just my opinion. I don't think it's just Rupert Roberts at all. Since Lang listened to the PME, looking out for Over the Hill and West End, he needs them. Okay, so let me tell you, all right? I don't think that question on planet Earth that if a government could lower the cost of living for consumers, that a government should and would do so. I have no doubt that. You cannot lose support doing something like that. You could only gain support doing something like that. There's no question about that. But is it possible, though? Is it practically possible for a government to do so without causing perhaps even greater harm by doing so? This text says the PM is telling them to stop the price gouging. Say, good day, Z Live. I think the PM is speaking directly to Rupert Roberts of Super Value. You think so? You really think so? Why Mr. Roberts? There are many, many food stores in the Bahamas, both large chains and convenient ones. And there's also lots of more businesses than just food stores. Okay, so people don't just have to buy food. They have to buy other things too. Right? But I have to tell you, right? On the politics of life, it sounds fantastic to shout reducing the cost of living and to send either directly or indirectly warnings to business people. On the politics of that, you almost think that's not a losing politics, because who doesn't want their cost of living lowered? Who is in love with business people? Who they think of making so much money off of them? Who's in love with them? So beating up on them does not lose you points as a general rule. So on a political wicket, you could say, okay, the politics of that plays well in the ears of voters who are largely consumers. Largely. But let's walk this through practically. Let's suppose that the prime minister decides that he thinks, as somebody said, that the businesses are price gouging. First of all, one of you said price gouging. Prove to me a business is price gouging. What does that mean? What does price gouging mean? Come on, somebody tell me. Somebody tell me what price gouging means. And show me in our law where there is such a thing as price gouging and you're able to prosecute on the basis of it because you've determined somebody's price gouging outside of where there is price control. And price control exists on less than 30 items of thousands of items that are sold in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Tell me and show me where price gouging happens. When does it get to be gouging? Tell me. Who gets to determine your gouging? And if the government removes duty off a price on that item, what law have you broken? And how does that constitute gouging? Tell me, please. How does that constitute gouging? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, how are you doing? Seattle Johnson.
Hey, Seattle.
Yeah, you know, the Prime Minister was playing to the ignorance of behemoths on how basically our economy works. So here it is that I buy a can of tomatoes from the U.S., and I normally pay 40% duty. He reduced it to 20% duty. So automatically that doesn't translate that savings goes to you. When simultaneously the Prime Minister and his band of merry men doubled the price of electricity.
Say it again.
When the Prime Minister and his merry men doubled the price of electricity, which is greater than the increase in electricity per that item is greater than the 20% that has been given to me.
So let's break this down. I'm not talking about the band of merry men. Those are your words. But let's break this down. Because so you have a duty, let's say the item is $10.
Yes.
The duty on the item was 40 cents. And so remember now, the duty isn't 40% of $10. The duty is 40% of whatever took it up to $10.
Yes.
Okay, so that might be about, let's say that was a dollar something. Now let's say you reduce it to, let's say it would reduce to $8.20 because you removed the duty. But the only way that gets to hold is if no other cost.
No other variables, right.
Okay, so if in that same period, I have or anticipate higher cost of power, and how could I know that I have higher cost of power? Because you built into me higher cost fuel surcharges for the next 12 to 18 months.
Absolutely. Let's not forget also that your cost of labor also went up with the minimum wage increase.
also, but that was, let's deal with the current, because we can say that was fixed in and built in a little time ago.
Right.
But the other thing is, just because my cost when you gave me the duty was X, doesn't mean that my vendors have not, for whatever reason, gone up on their cost.
Absolutely. There you go.
So that when I land the item, it is also higher. So why what you're saying is so important is there are too many dynamics in there to account for, to simply suggest that somebody is gouging just because you lower duty and things don't lower comparably.
Right. But there's an instance, right? I just worked on an accounting, on a reconciliation for someone, and they don't directly import their food stuff. It's got it from a distributor here. And the distributor raised their price for electricity or other things, whatever variables. And so that person did not see any of that in. So is that person now price gouging because they added 10 cents back then and they haven't even adjusted? In fact, they are eating the cost of variables just to keep it in place for their customers. And so I don't know how the prime minister could quantify or qualify what he is stating without just saying it. So I'm saying to, he's appealing to basically the emotionalism concerning the high cost of living experiencing by people in the Bahamas.
But he's appealing to voters. And I mean, let's face it, appeal to voters. What we try to do on this show is try to look at the issue and say, okay, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but let's look at this in practical terms. Because the reality is, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah,
and so why we keep eroding confidence in our institutions is because our institutions keep making promises that are either difficult or impractical to deliver.
Yes. And, in tying this in, right, it's the same thing I've heard you on another show where you said, we import inflation. And so when you begin to say that you will do something about it, that you're working to resolve it, what is it that you're doing to change the global market where we are choosing those different things? And that's the hope deferred. So you're absolutely correct. You know, it was a nonsensical statement that was made to basically make a promise that can't be kept.
Okay, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi. A pleasant good afternoon, Shabab. How are you doing?
Hey, Sial. I'm good, man. How are you? I'm sorry. What's up? What's up, Anton? I got you, man.
All right, cool. Now, Chivago,
mm-hmm.
I listened to that dialogue with you and C. Allen.
Yeah.
I expected a lot different from you in that conversation.
Why?
Right?
Why?
I'll tell you why. And first and foremost, the Prime Minister, his Prime Minister of Finance, his Minister of Economic Affairs, and Minister of State for Finance, Michael Alkitas, his Financial Secretary, and a myriad of other technocrats met the producers in the country, met with the food grocers in the country, met with the shippers in the country. They have access, and Sialin question, and this is why I expected a little better from you in that conversation. Well, not a little better, a lot better, Imam Shabago. The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, Financial Secretary and Minister of Economic Affairs, they have all access to all of the information relating to Bahamas Customs Duty, which tells you how much you pay for the items, how much the items are being shipped in for, and whatever travel cost is built in through the inland revenue.
Anton, let me hold on just a minute, because what happens is, I know you are going to speed on and what have you, but let me just check something else. I'm not going to cut you off. Let me just check something, and then you could continue.
Sure, right? I'm listening.
First of all, you know, I had a guy approach me in the airport, and he asked me what I thought about building bridges across the islands. And I said, I think it's an impact. He said he was surprised and expected better from me. I said, well, why would you be surprised about what I say if it's what I say in response to what you asked me? If you wanted something that didn't surprise you, you should ask yourself. Okay, so I'm speaking about me. Secondly, I'm sorry, Anton, but what the information customs has is always historic. Always historic. It's what you landed a thing for. My brother, I'm in the trading business. And I can tell you what I pay for something this week ain't the same as what I pay for it next week.
Okay.
So you do not have.
Can I carry on so that I don't find
no,
myself?
Because you were surprised. So I'm just saying, customs doesn't have all the information on the future. Customs has historic information.
Right. Understood.
Okay.
Understood. And
okay.
that would have brought me that very point that you just interjected would have brought me to my second point, Shivago.
Right.
Which is
right.
What you and Mam C. Allen was discussing, and on your end. Exclusively to my surprise. I say this because you start in a position of Minister of State for Finance and Right Honorable Hubert Ingram. And so you would know a lot of the information that I'm about to disclose. Secondly, Shivago, if you're in business and the government affords you, the government negotiated with the transshippers in the country, which is a big part of the cost for your goods coming into country. The government may have made certain concessions as it relates to duty exemptions, et cetera, to make it more affordable for you to bring your product into the country. Even if the cost of BPL goes up, even if your cost of purchasing goes up, Shivago, you could reflect those costs, but you must also simultaneously reflect the reduction in cost that you got at the bottom.
But Anton, with the greatest respect to you, it is because I was in the Ministry of Finance that I don't buy that crap. It's precisely because it's nonsense.
Why?
It's nonsense.
Why,
the government
why
of the Bahamas. Listen
crap?
To me. Listen. Let me tell you why, brother. The government of the Bahamas, unless it decides to become an authoritarian government, will not bring down the cost of living in the Bahamas. Will not. It is high. You ever see the government of the United States bring down the cost of living in the United States?
Of course.
Absolutely not.
No, Anton. I can't agree with that, Shivago.
Anton, all you have to do is look at inflation over time, bro.
I understand that, but I educate
people on this show. I don't propagandize. See, you want to make a point. You want
to
make a point for the PLP. I am not trying to make a point for the FNM or the PLP. I am making a point of education. A government that is not in control of all the economic systems in a country cannot control the cost of living. Cannot. It will not happen. Governments of the Bahamas have removed duties on meats, on fruits, etc., and look at the price of those things now compared to years ago.
Okay, Shivago, if I can hop back in the conversation now. In the United States of America, as you should very well know, there are many levels of subsidy that the federal government provides. Many, especially with agriculture, Shivago. Agriculture in the United States of America is primarily sustained of the huge amounts of subsidy provided to farmers with land, with other exemptions that they do not have to pay in order for them to be able to provide food at a more affordable cost in America. And if
Anton,
they're going to
with,
ship,
Anton, with the great Anton, I'm sorry, with the, and I got to go because we have another call on the line. With the greatest respect to you, you are wrong. The subsidies are provided not to lower food costs. They rely on market forces to dictate food costs in America. They provide subsidies to allow for competition with foreign imports and to encourage their farmers to be able to access export markets. It's nonsense to talk about food costs. They rely on competition to check their food costs. And at least the prime minister is aware that competition is the thing that allows and permits it to happen. But it is foolhardy to believe otherwise, that the government can control or lower cost of living in the Bahamas. It's foolhardy. It is. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, good day, Shivago. How are you?
Hey, good, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, man, everything's good. What I see is this conversation regarding estimating price gouging.
Right.
I think the precedent was made underneath the FNM administration when it came down to duty-free exemption on clothing the importation of clothing, in which
I thought that was foolish too, in which
they investigated that even though the importers were getting duty-free concessions on the importation of clothing, that the prices in which they were selling the clothing at were not encompassing the duty-free reduction. So,
yeah, but what was done about that? So in the end, when they found it out, what was done about that? Did something change with the clothes?
What was done was is that in order to get duty-free exemption on your clothing materials, you had to submit into the government, into Ministry of Finance, the price in which you intended to sell the clothing at once you got the duty-free approval, so that they could have been able to keep better track of where the prices were being amended to.
And I submit to you that they were playing politics as well.
Well, that is absolute nonsense. But secondly, one of the areas which I really think this comment was directed to is that of companies such as Arawak Port Limited, in which they receive concessions and they have mandates to be able to stay in the positive year over year, but they are deemed one of the most expensive ports in the region. And this is what is causing also the price of goods to go up, because increased shipping costs and what would be a gouging of persons looking to import items into the country.
I think you make a legitimate point of consideration for sure. I really do, because again, that's a little bit more particular, a little bit more nuanced that a government might target, because there are maybe less variables in relation to that business. But this notion of lowering the cost of living across the board, and the Prime Minister spoke to businesses. I think that that's where I have my challenge.
Yes, sir. But you know, again, politics in these conversations, but I feel really that we have to do something with the cost of importing items into the Bahamas. This is ridiculous that from 2014, the prices have went from about $2,000 for a container to almost about $4,000 or $5,000 for the country.
You want me to tell you what my solution is, brother?
Go ahead.
Open up the floodgates of competition.
WTO, you have ever been a proponent?
No, you don't have to do it by WTO. You don't. You realize that in our country, wholesale and retail trade, inland transportation, let's say the port and these other things, you realize that all of those things are protected against competition from international players. And somebody said, well, they should be protected from competition with international players. Well, why should it be protected from my having partnerships with international players who could compete with them? I'm a Bahamian too, Ike, so we could both get... The foreigner could get something, I could get something, while we're competing to get the consumers lower prices.
And also the support of local industries such as Roro, the Mill, the Duke of Topsail. These options, they do not use the traditional APD port, right? They have facilities built into it, whereas they have roll-on, roll-off shipping. They offer more affordable rates as well, and being able to force competition to those bigger markets, because we do understand that some.
But I don't think it's fair to beat up on APD without evidence to support that APD is the problem, though. Because let's remember, APD existed in this country before the pandemic, when prices were lower in many respects. They were still there. So yes,
What I don't want to get past is that APD has a mandate to stay profitable.
But it's a private business owned by Bahamians who invested in it. Why would you invest in something that didn't earn a profit?
I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is that where is the consequence for them running an inefficient model? Right.
But somebody has to establish that somebody's running an inefficient model. In a sense, when has inefficiency been against the law? If inefficiency was against the law, the government of the Bahamas would have been collapsed a long time.
Well, we tend to hold politicians accountable for inefficiency. I mean, holding persons.
Yeah, but no, you know why? You know why? Because we pay the politician's salary. But if a business is inefficient, it's supposed to collapse on its own under the weight of its own inefficiency. And that's typically what happens.
It's too big to fail, if we understand, right? So we're not...
No. But I mean, how do you say it's inefficient? How do you get to say... You are you there? Have you done an evaluation of their operations?
Well, what I can say is that once I've seen the prices increasing end over end, right?
No, you can't. No, man. So you cannot judge.
What I want to say
efficiency
is,
on a basis.
Make it about ABD, right? We don't want to get business, particularly because ABD is running a wonderful establishment. I'm just pointing to areas where the government can be talking about possible price gouging and what they can be able to help do to reduce the cost of living for all Bahamians across the board.
I got you, my friend. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We have, says, Mr. Lang, I've been to the food store yesterday. They're running out with those prices. Now, I've been to Claire Carr last week, and the people told me the crane price went up, so that might be the reason price is going up. Price going is gouging is going up on item during a crisis or emergency. Now, don't demonize me. I think that's what it is. It's not that. That's not true at all. Because if you have a crisis that leads to logistical issues and so forth that drive up your costs, you are able to. Price gouging is. Says this C. Allen should be PM. He have the answer for every problem. He should be PM. He's the only God get the answer for everything. A man like him is only talks. He all over on these radio stations campaigning for Pindad. He must, he promises him Minister of Technology. So, well, Mr. Lang, the opposition is be playing politics when they be talking about inflation all day in the House. Today is misleading if the government can't do nothing with the cost of living. I hear the opposition talk about the government doing something about cost of living, and I agree with you. That's the government can't. Not about inflation. No, can't. Not in any significant way. You can do something for people who are impacted by the cost of living, like the poor, either by subventions to them, as the government does do, and this kind of stuff. But general cost of living in this country, man, please. That's a pipe dream. It's a good show as usual. I have to disagree with you, sir. I, too, involved in trade. Tom was saying it's correct. If we could lower the price of imported goods, there should be lower prices in the stores. Yeah, if you could lower the cost of imported goods. You all are disagreeing with me. But just show me the facts, bro. Show me the facts. The government of the Bahamas, since Lyndon was in office, been lowering duty, removing duties. All you got to do is show me, Lang, see the prices lower on this one? See the prices lower on that one? That's all. You want, but whether you agree with me or disagree with me, evidence what you are saying. I am evidencing what I'm saying, but telling you, just go and check the prices. We have fruits and vegetables in this country have no duty at all. None. Is the prices lower today than 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago? You're missing my point, man. The text is APD is 45% owned by private shipping companies, investors 45% by government, and 10% by public. Absolutely. Absolutely. Say, well done, Mr. Lang. Speak truth, not propaganda like that last fella. See, if there's no competition, what means does the government have to control a company's prices? Absolutely nothing. None. So the PM is threatening to tax the businesses more. This is all governments of the Bahamas know. It's tax people. This is the only reason why the cost of living is so high. Well, if you tax the businesses are going to pass those taxes on to the consumers. And how is that going to help? It won't help. Let me tell you something, man. If the government of the Bahamas wants to do something with pricing, figure out where you have a monopoly or oligarchy in the country, where you have a cartel in the country, and bring the competition in and let it flood the area. You want to do something with prices there? You'll see it. You'll see it. You let them bring them in then. You'll see exactly what happens when they have to fight with people to get their dollars. In fact, if consumers in the Bahamas make these people fight more for their dollars by having some discipline and saying, no, I ain't gonna buy that no more. I ain't gonna buy it until the prices go down. You will see. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, y'all have a great afternoon. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God's best. Bye. Take care.